Last week, President Trump signed executive orders jumpstarting construction of the Keystone and Dakota Access pipelines. And yesterday, meeting with small business owners, he said this.
I said, you mean you can make pipe in China and other places far away, ship it to the United States on massive boats, put it on trucks and deliver it to the middle of the country, and we can't make it cheaper, right?
Absolutely.
I'm saying, what are we talking about here?
Right.
So, and these are big pipes. Now, the only way I can imagine they do that is they must have to cut them because they're so big. I can't imagine they take up so much room. I can't imagine you could put that much pipe on ships. It's not enough. It's not long enough.
Well, that's not how it's done. We'll get to that. But then, after a tangent on eminent domain, seizing land to build the pipelines, the president said this.
I want the pipe to be manufactured with United States steel.
And
I want workers in the United States to fabricate the pipe.
Well, first, there is international trade law against barring imports from other countries. But there's also the question, what if a U.S. company is employing American workers to fabricate steel into these pipeline tubes? But it can't afford to do that if it has to get raw steel mined from iron ore here in the U.S. And what if there isn't even enough? There isn't, according to Brett Googe, executive vice president at California Steel Industries. They employ about 1,000 people. They're outside Los Angeles. Brett, your response first to the president's call to build pipelines using American steel.
We appreciate the direction the president wants to go in terms of jobs in America. We just don't want to be in some way left out, which it appears to be a problem for us if it stands as currently written. Our model here at California Steel is that we rely on slab that we purchase as our feedstock. These are steel slabs that weigh 25 to 30 tons each. We heat them up to near melting, and we roll them out into sheet. The problem is we are almost 100% reliant upon imported steel slabs, so we bring the slab in through the Port of Los Angeles. We could not survive as a company without the ability to import slab. We just don't have our own slab-making facilities here.
Why is that? Is it that we're not making slab-making in the U.S., or why is that?
There have been studies that show there's, and our own experience also shows, that there's virtually no slab market in the U.S. When we first started up, we used to buy slab domestically, but it just over the years became absolutely unavailable as the remaining mills produce, with rare exceptions, they want to produce slabs for their own consumption because they can add more value, make more money that way. I don't blame them for that. But at least with the existing mills, it hasn't proven to be a very attractive business.
Got
and
it.
Commerce Department studies have actually shown that really it's slabs are not commercially available in the United States. And yet around the world, there are mills that do produce slabs. There is a global slab trade.
Well, we're reading in the Cleveland area, in the Cleveland Dealer, that the same thing happened when, we remember when TransCanada Corp said in 2012 that half of the pipe for the U.S. portion of the Keystone XL pipeline would come from a company in Arkansas. Everybody got excited. But they had a caveat. They said it's important to understand pipeline companies do not purchase raw steel. Rather, we purchase sophisticated manufactured products, high-strength steel pipe pumps, fabricated from steel and other metals. And that, much of the time, same thing you're saying, comes from around the world.
It's true. We buy our slabs almost exclusively from Brazil, Mexico, and Japan. Just a couple of years ago, we spent over $100 million investing in a new pipe mill here for California Steel. We have one of the most modern and high-quality pipe mills in the world. And so we really believe that our workers are just as qualified for under Buy America-type programs as anybody's. And the fact that we must rely on an imported semi-finished steel should not disqualify them from the benefits of the Buy America programs.
Well, but we checked with the Port of Los Angeles. Again, this is your raw product. It comes into the U.S. Last year, the port handled 2.2 million metric tons of steel, but that was down 17% from the year before because of import restrictions on Chinese steel. You said you got yours from Brazil, but there are already import restrictions. So are you worried not just that there will be these requirements of what happens in the U.S., but there will be restrictions on what can come in?
Well, that would be a big concern because our business model for 32 years has been to rely on purchased slab, and because of the way the domestic steel industry has evolved, there's almost none available domestically.
Now, we should say there's established companies on the East Coast. They do have access to raw material here in the U.S. but that's more of a challenge for your company. Do you think that the steel industry will be reignited because of thinking like this?
Well, you know, we think that we're part of reigniting the steel industry with our model. We're on the site of an integrated steel mill called Kaiser Steel that went out of business in, I believe, 1983. Our company, California Steel, was formed a year later from just the rolling mill portion in 1984, and we've been able to preserve those 1,000 American jobs by the business model that we adopted after Kaiser Steel went out of business. So the industry continues to evolve. It's completely changed since a lot of these Buy America principles came out in the early 1980s. You know, we're here to stay, and we want, obviously, fair treatment from our government.
Brett Gouge at California Steel Industries in Fontana, California. Brett, thank you.
Thank you very much.